Now we're going to read together from our Bibles, and we're reading from the book of Psalms, and Psalm number 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against you. But let all those who rejoice, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround them as with a shield. And there we leave that reading of God's word, and we're thankful for it. Now we're going to speak to God in a wider sense now, so let's all pray together. Our Heavenly Father, the one who lives in heaven, the one who is seated upon a throne of glory, we come to you now as your children, and we come like beggars to a compassionate and a generous Lord. And we ask at this very point that you would fill all of our minds with the real awareness of what and who you are. You are the designer and the creator and the sustainer of the world. As we drive through the land in which we live, and any other land for that matter, we see a world that you have made, a world that you have filled with animate and inanimate objects. You made men and women like ourselves in your own image. There is something about each one of us that is like you. You breathed into each one of us the very breath of life, and we live because you have made us live. We live in association with one another. It may be with friends, it may be with families, it may be with so many different people, because you've made us like that. We were made for fellowship with one another and for fellowship with you. You never intended us to be alone. You never intended us to be separated from you, but so many times we feel that we are. So help us. We are debtors to you, our Lord. You gave the Lord Jesus Christ to us, your only Son, the one that you loved eminently. And you gave him to us to redeem us, from our fallen state. And we ask that you would help us to turn to you, that we might ask you to change us from that fallen state that we have. Our Saviour was glad to change us, though it meant his own life would be laid down. We come aware of our sinfulness. We come aware not only that we have said and done and thought wrong things, but we come aware that there is a fallen nature, something deep within us that has brought upon us fallenness and shame. And we come in the name of your own dear Son, and we ask that you would wipe from us this sinful nature, and you would help us to be in every aspect of our being what you want us to be. We come thankful for so many things that have come into our hearts and minds and life. Thankfulness is ours to be laid out before you. We are thankful to you, our God. Thankful that our very lives, physically as well as spiritually, we thank you that you have given them to us. We're amazed at the love that is yours for us. We thank you for the church of the living God. We offer our thankfulness to you for that. Where would we be? What would life be like if there were no church of Jesus Christ? We ask that the many local churches that we here might have some connection with, some awareness of. We think of churches in our own area. We think of churches that we have knowledge of in other areas. And we ask that earnestly that you would strengthen and build and expand such churches and give such churches all the men and the women and everyone that they need to live a good and a godly life before the world. We ask that you would help each church that bears your name, that really believes in the Lord Jesus, that you would cause them to flourish. We pray to you, our Father, this morning for our world. And we see in so many parts of our world problems and difficulties. We think of some that are downcast in our world, even in our churches. Some that need to be raised up afresh. Open the eyes of those within our churches that have never seen the beauty and the loveliness of the Lord Jesus. We ask that you would undertake for the lands that we've heard of just recently that are in great difficulty. We think of the land of Ukraine, and we're not sure what's happening there. We think of Syria, and we read and think and hear that so many are in great difficulties, great danger. Some are almost starving. Some have been injured because of fighting. We think of Afghanistan and all the problems there. And we think of countries nearer to ourselves. We think of Ireland and the problems that are coming to the surface there. We ask, O God, that you would look mercifully upon all of these places. And we ask that this morning and throughout this day you would bless the preaching of your gospel.
Amen.
Let not your word be proclaimed in vain. Some might hear and not be at all interested. Others might be ready to listen, but simply disbelief. We ask, O God, that in our own little gathering here, you would use the word of God to the blessing of so many people. Hear us then and help us, we pray. For we ask all of these things in our Saviour's mighty name. Now as we look together at God's word, it is that psalm that we read together that I want us to think about. Psalm number 5. And it is a psalm that has to do predominantly with prayer, or with praying, how to pray. I would not put any titles on this as to how to pray, because there are so many ways in which we can pray. But almost every verse in this psalm is linked in some way or another to prayer. Now, if we believe, as I think that we should do, that prayer is conversation between God and men. If that's right, and I think there's a lot of truth in that, then when we read Psalm 5, what we're doing is we are virtually eavesdropping on a conversation between God and David. We're hearing more of what David says than anything else, but that's what we're doing. We're listening to somebody pray. And David was a great man. And so when you read those first three verses of the psalm, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. Now, just from reading these three verses, we can see a number of things that David is actually doing. We've said it's about prayer. But the same thing happens when we do things, when we go to work. What do you do? Well, you do several things. And when David here is said to be praying, he's doing a number of things that we can focus in on. The first thing that we read in verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. So he's meditating. If it is not so much speaking as simply thinking or meditating. Now, most references to meditation are found in the Old Testament. And especially in the Psalms, in a very real sense. Now, what is it? What is meditation? Years ago, when the Beatles were out, there was the famous phrase of transcendental meditation. Now, please don't accuse me of that. Somebody once said it was better put transcontinental medication. And I think there's probably a degree of truth in that. But the word meditation is used in a general sense to mutter. Now, we all do that one way or another. We perhaps don't admit it. But we can all do that. We can think about things and we can waffle on to ourselves. We can talk to ourselves. The general sense then seems to be to utter or to mutter in a low sound. And the word is used in Isaiah, 31 and verse 4, of the growling of a lion. Isaiah 31:4 says this, for thus the Lord has spoken to me, as a lion roars, and as a young lion over his prey. Now, years ago, more years than I care to remember actually, we took our children to Whipsnade Zoo. And it wasn't the nicest of weather when we got there, it was a bit dismal really. And I don't think the children, one of them was in a pushchair, the other one was walking freely. And they weren't particularly excited about anything. No animals really to see. But then, all of a sudden, we heard the roar of a lion. And I've never heard anything like that. We've seen lions in Africa. One of them that moved around the vehicle that we were in, and we just wondered whether it would go away quickly. And it did. But this was a sound like nothing else I've ever heard. And Katie, who was in the pushchair, really almost jumped out of the pushchair. She was terrified of this sound. And then we turned round and we walked a bit closer and we could see it was the lion up at the gate. Beautiful creature, but the noise that it made. Whatever thought comes to our mind, really, our Bible says, must be like that lion roaring. And we can think of it. Whatever comes to mind must be something that will not let the mind move from this thing to something else. So, first of all, to meditate is a sound that we cannot silence in our minds. Something gets there, we cannot stop it. Another sense of the word, or coupled with this word of the sound, perhaps even of a lion crying, is the idea of being occupied by this, or being concerned about this thing, this sound. This, then, I believe, is meditation. It's a repetitious going over of a matter in one's mind because it's one of the chief concerns of that time. So when David says, Lord, listen to my meditation, David is asking God to look at him. The things that were going on in and around David were influencing his praying. He was thinking of God and who he was and the circumstances of his own life that were surrounding him. But David is praying at this time, even though you wouldn't say it was prayer, he's thinking. And he says to God, Lord, consider my meditation. Consider the things that I'm thinking about. Listen to them carefully. You know what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, O God. So help us. Do something. Take some action. David wants God to consider the things that have been going on in and around him, his thoughts and so on. Now this is always an important element in our prayer. It's always an important element. So often when we come to pray, we don't have a great deal on our minds at times. We can be dull and we can be wandering in our prayers. And we can often use words without any real intelligence. Some years ago I was at a conference and drove over there with a friend, and there was several meetings on during the day, and this friend of mine wasn't at one of the meetings, and I said, I didn't see you there this afternoon. And he said, no, I've heard that man preach before. And he said, he's the only man I know that can fall asleep while he's speaking. Now, I know that man, and I think he's a good man. I'm not going to tell you his name, just in case you book him to come here. But even if you did, you wouldn't be you wouldn't miss a lot. He's a good man. Now, sometimes when people pray, and when we pray, we can be distant. Distant. As we pray, we should always be thinking of who God is and what's going on in our minds and thoughts as we speak to him. Things can come to our minds and we wish and we hope that this could happen. And David was speaking to God in this way. Now, there may be a sense of praise for who God is when we come to speak. There may be a sense that we need to confess some sin, whether it's a great deliberate sin or whether it's what you might call a little thing. Really, there are no little sins. Maybe thanksgiving. We want to say thank you that this has happened. Something that we want to say thank you to God for. Or it might be that we earnestly desire that God intervene in a certain situation. And you've all had those things where somebody that you know, a family member or something like that, and you think to yourself, oh, I hope this happens. Might be all kinds of things. There may be a real sense of wanting God to do something, but you can't put it into specific words. We've all been in that situation. You want God to do something, and you know in one sense what you want, but in another sense you don't know what you want. It sounds a bit Irish that, but you know exactly what I mean. You're not sure whether you're to say to God, Lord, give me that job that I'm being interviewed for. You might want to say to God, Lord, would you stop the rain? You know, if you were living in certain parts of the country, you might be right to say, Lord, stop the rain. But if you're living in a different part of the world, you might be saying to God, Lord, thank you for that rain. So what David is doing really here is saying this to God. Let my meditations, my thoughts, the things that grip me at this time, the things that I can hardly put into words, Lord, would you come to me and would you supply those words that I can't think of exactly how to word these things. Now, this is a very open thing that we're doing. And we say to God, Lord, consider my meditation. You ever thought of doing that to God? And you're saying, I know there are some things that I shouldn't be thinking or I shouldn't be wanting or hoping or doing. But I'm saying to God, Lord, consider my meditation. Things that I can't put into words. But then the second thing that David is doing here is actually speaking. In verse 2. Give ear to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning. David is now using actual words. And there are certain times when we can use words and there's an earnestness about them. If you look at many passages in the Psalms, you see David using words. In Psalm 6, for instance, in verse 2, David says this, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. So there's an earnestness about that. And there's David using words. Psalm 10, David says in the first verse, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? He's using words and he's speaking to God. Why do you hide in times of trouble? Now, words are used with a specific meaning. Now, David is asking God to listen to the words of those feelings that are shouting inside of David, but he can't put them into certain words. They're not only words, but their feelings. Now David is doing something quite remarkable at this point. He knows that he longs to speak to God as he wants to speak to no others. And he knows that he wants to communicate with God. And it's as though David has in his hand a weapon, whatever weapon you might want to think. But that weapon that David has his hands on is short of ammunition to load into that weapon. So what David does is he meditates He thinks, he opens his mind, he looks around him, he sees this one, and he sees this circumstance. And whenever something strikes him, he picks these things up as ammunition and he loads them into this weapon. That's meditation. That is meditation in its simplest sense. And then when David realizes that his weapon is loaded, he aims it straight at God and he pours it out, he fires it off to God, and he brings all of these things before God. That's prayer. Now these two thoughts of meditation and prayer, they are so helpful to us. How they will make our prayers more intelligent than they've been perhaps for some time. How practical they are and how valuable they are. Now what are those things that go through your mind, Steve? What do you meditate on? What do you think about? Each one of you, you think about something, you're thinking about it now. It's probably a good thing that we can't understand what everybody else is thinking. We can't read people's thoughts. Sometimes the expression on people's face says, oh, you don't have to tell me, I know exactly what you're thinking. Well, God can see us. Now, is it your work that you meditate on now? Is it your family? It may be your whole future. What's going to happen to you this time next year or whenever? Might be the situation in the Ukraine or in Syria or Egypt or even much closer to home. It may even be your past. You think about it. You know, why on earth did I do that? What problems has that caused? You may even think of the day when you will meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you will stand before him and you'll look eyeball to eyeball at him. We shall all meet him. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second one in chapter 5 and verse 10, he says this: we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And the ones that will happen, that day will happen. So many of us try not to think about it. It will happen. How will you face that day? Think about it and speak to God about it. But David isn't done with his praying at this point. The third thing that David does is he directs his prayer. Verse 3, my prayer, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. I will direct it to you and look up. I will direct, or I will lay in order my prayer. Now here, the word direct that's translated here seems to be meaning the things of laying something in order, laying it in some kind of order. Certain things won't work if you don't put them in the right order. And it's used in Leviticus 1, in verse 7. Let me read those words to you. The sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order. Now that's the phrase that David is using here when he says, I will direct my prayer to you. There is some order, or there ought to be some order in our prayers. Which comes first or which comes second isn't the great issue. But we can do these things. The very first thing that the priest did in Old Testament days after waking in the morning was to go where the morning sacrifices were offered. And he knew that there were certain animals that would have to be slaughtered and then burnt to please God. But he didn't just go and strike a match, whatever they had in those days, to get the fire going. He wouldn't just go and do that. He wouldn't just throw a fire together and put a sacrificial animal on it. But what he would do, he would lay the wood deliberately on the altar in a certain order. And then when that was done, he would lay the sacrificial animal parts in order, a certain order, on the wood. And then he would step back and he would wait there and look to see if the fire came down on that altar and set the animal sacrificial, or the sacrificial animal, ablaze in satisfaction to God. You and I should do these things, dear ones, as we come to pray. Order is right and proper in our prayer. We ought to make much of God in our minds. We ought to acknowledge our sins before him and ask his forgiveness for those sins. There ought to be thankfulness in our prayers. And there are always many things that might seem sometimes as hopeless when we see the situation. On the television recently, there's been much about the First War, the anniversary, the beginning of it. And as you watch some of these incidents and what Hitler was up to and so on, and you think there was a state of hopelessness about many people. Now, when God is involved, there's no hopelessness. We might sometimes think it's hopeless, but God can do these things. And then two more simple things. David, in the next place, in verse 3, watches. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you. I will look up. I will watch. Now, David has meditated. He's had his mind awakened, though he might not be too sure exactly what to say to God. His mind is filled. He knows in some ways what he wants to say, but he's not sure of the words. He knows also that in the morning at a certain time there will be the morning sacrifice. There are all sorts of things he wants to say to God. Some things he can't put into words, but he asks God to hear. He can put into words some things, and those he brings to God, and he says, Lord, listen, I'm directing my prayers to you. I'm not directing my prayers, imperfect as they are, to anyone else. I'm speaking to you, O Lord. I'm not speaking to the Prime Minister. I'm not speaking to the DHSS or whoever's giving out certain things that we should have. David speaks to God and he says, I'm directing these things to you, Lord. It's a remarkable thought, but David still hasn't done with his prayer. David also looks up. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. Now David is looking to see certain things and he's watching. He will look up and he will watch. He's looking attentively. He's looking to consider what's been done. What David is anxious to know here and he's watching is this. Is God taking notice of my prayer? Is God listening? Is there any evidence at all that God is listening? He watches. Now, you and I have watched. Sometimes we've been asked to watch when somebody else has put on the cooker a pan of milk. And somebody says, watch just to make sure it doesn't boil over. It usually does. But it's watching. Now, dear ones, how earnestly do we watch and see if our prayers are being answered. If they are being answered, then we should be very thankful. If they're not, we should keep on praying. It might mean that we might have to change the general thoughts of our prayers. When Maureen and I were first converted within the Church of England, the vicar was a remarkable fellow. And one of his favourite sayings was this: if you're not sure what to do, keep knocking at that door. Keep knocking. And if it still doesn't open, give it a good kick. And if it still doesn't open, you should think whether it's the right door that you're kicking. Try another door. Now, there's a lot of good sense in that. There's a lot of good sense in that. Dear ones, if we ever feel, when we come to pray, and prayer is never the easiest thing in the world to do. Sometimes we get the impression from some people that it's dead easy. All you do is shut your eyes and you waffle a few words and you pray. That is not what praying is all about. It's not easy. And sometimes we feel like those disciples of old felt when they went to Jesus and they said, as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now, sometimes we do need to know. We do need to know. Is this how I should be praying? And Psalm 5 and those verses that we've looked at briefly, I think are helpful. We could do a lot worse than saying to people, read Psalm 5 and try and get into what David is saying at that point. It's very helpful and it will change our thinking about praying if we can get something of what David says at that time. So may God help us to know those things. Our gracious God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come together this day and we can claim free admittance into heaven because of who Jesus is and what he did. Help us to believe in such a Saviour. Go with us. Part us with the blessing of yourself, your Son, and your Spirit. Amen.